Now, what good purpose does this book serve? It's poetic and practical, and here you have God speaking to his people in poetic songs. I would think it would be just a regular song that you might hear that gives a story, and there's a great deal of that type of music abroad today, and it's not on a very high level. And I'm sure that there are those that would classify this that way. Well, now let me mention some of the purposes of this, and that will help us, I think, to stand here at the very beginning of this book and recognize we need to take our spiritual shoes off of our feet. We're on holy ground. Now, first of all, it sets forth the glory of wedded love, marital bliss. When I see today the sexual freedom that we are seeing, and a great many people think that that's good, may I say to you that as one young fella that was with this group believing in free love, believing in this matter of no marriage, not necessary, just living like animals. That's the thing he said to me. He said, for several years, I live like an animal. And he says, if you want to know the truth, I don't think sex meant any more to those of us in that group than it means to an animal. Couldn't mean very much. Therefore, today, this younger generation that is geared to sex and their lifestyle is just all of this sexual expression today, I'm of the opinion they know very little about it. All they know is what an animal knows. A dog out there on the street knows as much as they know about it. But we're missing something today. This little book teaches the sacredness of marriage. It reveals it as a divine institution. It shows what real love is. Here you have the heart of a satisfied husband and that of a devoted wife. This generation knows a great deal about sex, but it knows nothing about love. It's the Hollywood type of love and the hippie type of love today. Why, a boy, a girl of 13 today knows more than their parents did. The very interesting thing, a father wanted to talk to his young boy about sex, and he beat around the bush about it, finally blurted out. He said, son, I'd like to talk to you about some of the facts of life. And the boy says, dad, what would you like to know? The boy knew more than his dad did. And we have a veteran movie queen with five husbands, but she doesn't know anything about real love because she committed suicide. And one that had someone that loved her would not do that. Modern novel and plays today, the heroes are neurotic, and the heroines have some sort of a erotic condition, and the plots are Tommy-rotic. And you have the latest plays, no use for me to mention them. It's like taking a trip through the sewers of Paris. Then there is another purpose, not only to set forth the glory of wedded love, but it sets forth the love of Jehovah for Israel. That's not new, of course. The prophets mentioned that. The little book of Hosea dwells upon that. And to breach this matter of wedded love is the greatest sin in all the world, according to Hosea. And then there's another purpose here. It reveals the love of Christ for the church. What a beautiful picture we have here. And God uses human affection to convey to our dull minds and our dead hearts and our distorted affections and our diseased wills his so great love. And he uses the very best to arouse us to realize the wonderful love that he has for us today. This little book lets you enter into a marvelous, wonderful relationship that you probably have never known before. And you'll not be satisfied with all this gimmickry today that's going around. Folk taking this little course, and if they learn a few psychological gyrations, They'll be able to live better in the family. They'll be able to work out their problems. My friend, what is needed today is a knowledge of the Word of God and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that very few of us are experiencing in this hour in which we live. Now you have here something else. You have here the love of Christ for the individual. And many great saints of God down through the years have experienced that. Paul knew something of that. He loved me, and he gave himself for me, Paul could say. And then that was Samuel Rutherford. My, how he could spend a whole night in prayer, in a cold night. His wife would miss him. And during the night, she'd get up and go looking for him, find him, take his great big old overcoat and put it over him. And he'd never know she'd been there. And McChaney and Dwight L. Moody and many of these men came into a real personal relationship. Now, a great many people try to speak of this as an experience or a second experience and that we all need it. May I say to you, it's more than an experience. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, seeing really how wonderful He is, how glorious He is, and how He has a personal relationship with us today, and how you and I need to develop that. We need to come to the place where it can be true of us that we love Him because He first loved us. This little book will break the alabaster box of ointment, and the fragrance of it will fill our lives, and I trust will spread out to others.